So, dear friends, let us begin today's discussion of Bhagavad Gita with our usual chant. Vande Vamsi Dharan Krishna Smayamanam Mukham Bhujam Pitambaradharam Neelam Malyachandana Bhushitam Radha Chitta Chakurendum Sandarya Sumahudadhim Parat Parataram Devam Brahmananda Kripanidhim Om Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Grathitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Amba Tvam Anusandadhame Bhagavad Gita Bhavad Vishvim. After a gap of 2 weeks, when we had different programs on Fridays, we will now resume the study of 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And as we had been seeing, that this summarizes the various teachings given in this great scripture of the world. Its appeal is universal. It doesn't depend on which country you live in or come from. It doesn't depend on other religious tenets that you may come from or belong to. It does not depend on what stage of spiritual evolution you are. As long as you are human beings, you can assimilate these truths and make your life happy and full of peace with the use of these teachings. These teachings, they connect directly wherever we are to our common goal. And it just requires whatever we are doing, either physically or emotionally, intellectually, to connect that to the ideal. Whatever we are doing needs to be directed to the ideal, and that's it. And that makes everything move towards the ideal. It is like putting in our GPS the right destination. When you insert right destination and then say go, then you are directed how to go. So similarly, the right direction, I mean right destination, has been given by Lord, that this is where you will find fulfillment. And that has been very rationally, logically explained. And then has been told what tools you need on that journey, the journey then begins and concludes in the ultimate goal of humanity, where you realize your true self, the one in which everything is assimilated, everything is included, nothing is left out, and nothing is other than what you are. So you cannot really separate yourself from it. You can separate yourself from all other things, all other people, but you cannot separate yourself from yourself. You are always united with it. And when you see that that alone is, the whole perception changes, all ideas of hatred disappear. As it is told in Ishavasya Upanishad, that if you see the same self in everything, then such a person, how can that person hate anybody? Hatred is for others. You hate other people for not being good, not being just, not understanding yourself and all that. Other people, they are objects of blame or hate. I am always good. No, that is an innate feeling of everyone. I am good. And that is really true, that I am good because my true nature is good. But mistakenly I superimpose it on the body and think that body is good. And that superimposition happens like that. A fragrant, say rose. Rose is fragrant flower, but if you have the picture of rose or a reflection of rose, it will look like rose, but it is not really rose. It will not be fragrant. So, we see this body as I, and therefore imagine that this body is also good, my mind is also good, because I superimpose I on this mind and thus think I am good as body and mind. But we are good, we are best when we understand and abstract therefore this true self, and which is then seen as the self of all. And thus this person now, having seen the same self in everyone, cannot hate anybody, cannot curse anybody, and that person therefore becomes really a saint and blessing to the universe. So how to approach this is being described by properly handling one's activities. We all perform different actions in different contexts. In fact, to give up actions is impossible. And giving up action is not possible for anybody who is holding a body. The body will be always active. And so that was the 11th verse that we have seen. Nahi deha bhritam shakyam tyaktum karmanya sheshatah yastu karma phalat tyagi satyagi ityabhidhiyate. Action cannot be entirely relinquished by an embodied being. He who relinquishes the fruit of action is called a relinquisher. So giver up of action is to be properly understood. Our language, it is has all these little funny problems. We say that, well, Vedanta society is on Angel Street. It is, well, if you say that it is on Angel Street and take it literally, How the traffic can go on that street if this building is on the street? So what is, although it is said it is on the street, we understand that it is by the side of that street. So to approach the Vedanta Society, you take that street. It is not taken literally that it is on the street, otherwise the street will be all blocked. So this is how we have to understand the language. So when we say that somebody gives up the action, giving up action is impossible. Nahi deha bhritam shakyam. As long as you hold the body, you will be doing some action or the other. Giving up action is not possible. Even if you are say, I won't do anything, I will just lie down, then you are doing the action of lying down. You still are breathing, you still are eating, they are acts, they are actions. So you cannot really give up all actions. So what is meant then by giving up actions? What is meant is giving up the craving for the results of these actions. That is what is the idea here when it is said that, well, somebody gives up the results of the actions, then that is the meaning of giving up actions. And now the logic is provided that how we incur the result of actions. See this, we perform actions and then the results come to us. Sometimes the results are pleasant, sometimes unpleasant. Whenever it is unpleasant, then we feel that, well, this thing shouldn't have come to me. I should be doing actions, but should not be held responsible for the result that accrues from that action. Whenever the result is pleasant, we don't complain. That is fine. It is only when it is unpleasant, then we start feeling about, why did I do it, or why should the result come to me? Let me give up all the results of the action. Lord Krishna has told that we should give up the results of all actions. So I give up this result. But you cannot give up like that. If we have done it out of attachment, out of some idea of gain, then whatever result you were seeing, that will come to you, and also that which you were not seeing, that also will come to you. If you go to a restaurant and order some dish, you see that and then you get that. But then the bill also you have to take. You can't say that I take only the pizza but not the bill for it. You take both together. So every action has a pleasant result and associated with that an unpleasant part also. So we get both of these. In the next verse, it is described that how the results of the actions come to us. And thus we will know how they will not come to us. How they come to us, if we understand the mechanism of how I perform an action and get bound by the result of it, if we see that mechanism, then we will be able to also see that how it will not come to me. Like if we see how this fellow went into prison, he was caught stealing something, and so he went to prison. So you now know that one idea, that you will not go to prison if you do not do stealing or any such activity which incurs that punishment. So it is told how you get this these results. 12th verse. Anishtam ishtam mishram cha trividham karmanah phalam bhavatyatyaginam pretya natu sanyasinam kvachet. The threefold fruit of action, disagreeable, agreeable and mixed, accrues to non-relinquishers after death, but never to relinquishers. After death, here is to be to meant that even if you don't see that person getting in this life, many times that person will get right in this life. But even if you see that the person hasn't got it now, it will come later. That like the IRS notices, you won't get it this year, but they will catch you next year. That it is. I recently had got one letter that it is you need to pay this and this and this. So, because they will, I thought that it is all fine because for 1 month after I filed, nothing came. So I was thinking everything is great, fine, but came a letter. So it is like that, that we may not immediately see the results coming. Maybe this life will pass, but that doesn't mean it has gone away. It is following you. Next life you will get it. So that is why the word pretya is used. In this life we can see right away, but even if you don't get it in this life, doesn't mean that you will miss it. Nothing is missed. The calculations are pretty exact there. The staff of this God who does all these calculations, that what is the result of this karma, who did it, how much should go to that person, does the job perfectly. So therefore nobody can miss anything. Whatever I perform, that gets noted. And you cannot hoodwink it, because the all-pervading eye of God is seeing it. That eye is all-pervading. You know, our eyes, they can see only a little things, and that also we forget. But that eye is all-pervading eye. And so, it sees right from inside, even if we lock ourselves inside a room, close all the windows and doors, yet that eye will catch you, because it is sitting right inside you, and so you can never hoodwink. You know, one of our friends, he used to do the fruit cutting for offering, and then I had told him that, you know, it is to be offered to Lord, so you should not eat it. And he had that, you know, the idea that, well, I should eat it. Then he told one day that, look, there is nobody in that room when I am cutting the fruits. So I think, who is going to see me if I eat? And then he came up, a wise man, you know, so came up with the explanation. But then I saw that I myself am seeing it, so somebody is seeing it. So therefore, there is no way you can miss it. So, a very important idea, you see, that God sees through by sitting right in your heart. You can never hoodwink that administration. And so the result gets accrued. You cannot really dodge it. You can never dodge the results of karma. It is therefore said, how are these results? Anishtam. Sometimes it is three, that disagreeable. You don't want it. But well, according to your action, you will get it. Agreeable, you want it. And mixed. Sometimes it is a mixture of both. Who gets these? Those who are non-relinquishers. But those who are relinquishers, they have performed it without any ego. If you perform it with ego, then you must get it. There is no escape from it. But if that idea that I am doer is absent there, then you don't get it. That is how one example my teacher used to give, that in courts, sometimes for very heinous crimes, they give death sentence, death penalty. And there is some person appointed to execute that sentence, that okay, you will be hanging, it is your job to hang this criminal. Now that person hangs him. Now he is just doing his job. He has no axe to grind. He has nothing against that criminal personally speaking. And he is just executing the order given by the judge. So therefore, you don't see that fellow is caught and charged with murder. That, well, you killed that criminal, although he did it. But he won't be charged in by the law, because he was just executing this statement, that order of the judge. He was not doing it on his own. Now imagine the same person doing the same action. Suppose he kills somebody at his home out of some grudge or revengeful out of greed, for whatever reason. If that, then although the outer action looks similar, that here also he killed somebody, at other place also he killed somebody, but here he is the doer. I am doing it. There is no order passed by the judge there. He is not supposed to do that, and therefore at that instance he will be caught and will be charged by murder or manslaughter or whatever offense. So, these two things depend now on whether my ego is functional there or not. I am the doer. When I am the doer, then the results must come to me, whosoever is the doer. If I am not the doer, it is not a lip service. If you know that I am not the doer, then no results of the actions will come to you. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell a nice story that a man had a very beautiful garden, had planted lot of nice veggies and flowers, and beautiful trees were there, and he used to take good care of it, was very passionately attached to it. And one day, as it sometimes happens, a cow entered from nowhere into the garden. And then, for cow, there was no aesthetic sense about that garden. It was all food. So that cow ate everything, destroyed the garden. And when this man saw, he became terribly angry. My garden, I'd all gone. Who did it? This cow. And took a big stick and gave such a blow on the head of the cow that the cow died there. Now, for Hindus, the cow is the most sacred animal creature. Cow is expression of divine, and so it is considered that killing cow is a very, very big sin. This man remembered, and so thought, now I will get all that bad result of killing a cow. He was terribly scared. But then he had read some scriptures. So he thought to himself that it is hand which has really given the blow. I didn't kill the cow, it is the hand which has given the blow. I am not responsible for that. So, the presiding deity of this hand is Indra. So, when the sin came to him, he said, well, no, I didn't do it. Go to Indra. That is there, he should get all the sin. And so, this sin, as it were, went to Indra. Indra said, why? Oh no, that fellow said that, well, it is, you are the presiding deity of hand, and hand killed the cow. So, you are the one who should get all this sin. Indra said, is it so? Come on, let us go and see what really happens. And this Indra took the form of an ordinary man and then went to the garden and started appreciating. Oh, how beautiful this garden looks. All the things are so very beautifully done. The one who has done this garden, who has planted all this, one who has designed all these things, must be a very artistic person, a very skillful person. And while he was saying this loudly, hearing the praise, this man came forward. Oh, who did it? Oh, this nice mango tree, who planted? Oh, I planted it. And I did so much work for it. This tree, this plant also is mine. No, it is, I brought it all the way from somewhere in Africa and planted it here. And went on telling about, I did this, I did this. And while doing this, this discussion was going on, Indra led him to where the cow was dead, lying dead there. Hey, who killed the cow? Now this fellow couldn't say that I didn't do it. Till now he was saying, I did, I did, I did. And then Indra said, here is your sin. You did do all the other things you did, and only while killing the cow you remembered that hand did it, and so forth. So we know inside who does it. I am the doer. And so I get the results, whether nice or not nice, whether desirable or undesirable. I do get it as long as that doership is there. Where there is no doership, you don't get that sin. A doctor may prescribe if somebody is suffering from some disease, and then doctor prescribes, take these antibiotics and you will be all right in 3 days. Now, a huge massacre of these bacteria happens there. Big colonies of them, they get destroyed by these chemical weapons of mass destruction there. But do you? The doctor hasn't done anything really with that intent. The idea was to bring health to this person, and so doesn't get the bad results of destroying so many bacteria. But if it is out of vengeance, that I must kill these, then it would be a different story. So depending on how is our awareness, the results come to us. So the one who gives it up doesn't accrue any result. Now the further details of this whole process are described, that there are 5 factors of every action. And we think that I am doing and that's it, I am using these means, and that is how the action takes place. But it is not as simple as it appears. There are various factors which come into play there. 5 factors are described here. Every action will have these 5 factors. Panchaitani mahabaho karanani nibodhame sankhye kritante proktani siddhaye sarvakarmanam. Learn from me, O mighty arm one, these 5 causes for the accomplishment of all work, as declared in the wisdom, which is the end of all action. So, these are declared, means the wisdom declares these. And this wisdom is this. It tells you that how the whole action got performed. It is, we feel that our contribution into it, or when the result is not very good, we imagine somebody else's contribution in it. But look, what are these five factors? The next verse tells them, adhishthanam tatha karta karanam cha prithak vidham vividhascha prithak cheshta daivam chaivatra panchamam. The seat of action and likewise the agent, the various senses, the different and manifold efforts, the presiding divinity being the fifth of these. It is the seat of action. It means your awareness of the I and the world, and that becomes the seat of action. And according to our awareness, we perform the action. That a person is, say, looking at a banana. Now, the one who likes banana and wants to eat, therefore, will proceed towards the banana. The one who abhors banana, I know a young man who positively dislikes banana, that so much that he will do everything to avoid it. Even if I asked him once that suppose you are getting a job with high salaries, but if the job means you have to taste the banana, he said, no way, I will not take that job at all. It is so that persons both are looking at banana, but awareness being different, the actions also become different. So that is the adhishthan, the basis for our actions. Our actions are based on our basic awareness of who I am and what the world around is. So, therefore we see that people, although put in the same situation, do not respond exactly in the same way. Because although objectively it may appear that the situation is same, actually everybody perceives that differently. And therefore, you can see this, that the same situation excites different emotions, different actions in various people. It is very easily seen that in the same situation, a person is put in that situation, some starts crying, some starts smiling. Although the situation is similar, our perception about that situation being different, that the emotions become different, the response also thus becomes different. So this underlying awareness, that is the basis on which these actions happen. So that is the primary, one of the five causes, that this basis. Then karta, the doer, I am doing it, that awareness, I am the doer, karta, who is doing it, that doership is also another factor in it. Karanam cha prithak vidham, every action requires certain instruments. Depending on the instruments that you have, the action takes place. If you don't have the instruments which are right, it is one man was working on some electric things here, and then he saw that some other these tools are required for that. So he said, I cannot do it with these tools, I will have to get other tools. So I will come tomorrow and do it. So the tools, according to your tools, you do those actions. So all the common, the tools common to all human beings are like this, that we have our eyes, ears and so forth, the hands and the feet, and but again our skills are not same. Those instruments that we have do not function exactly in the same way. So these instruments, they are another factor in getting the work done. Then vividhascha prithak cheshta. Well, you are the doer, you have the instruments, you have the basic understanding, but all that has to become functional. You have to actually do those actions, and they are manifold. So this is an interesting idea about doing one action and doing many actions. One action can be divided into many small actions, and seemingly many actions also can be clubbed into one action. So when we do that, it is we are doing one action. When we have put, like, you put many things in one bag, you are carrying that bag. So what happens there? You are, how many things you are carrying? One thing. You are carrying just bag, but in that bag there are 100 things. Now if you are actually no, you have not put them in the bag, then you are carrying 100 things. So it is the question of how you form a unit. It is like you have a car, one thing, and you may say that I have the four doors of the car, the seats, the engine, and you can enumerate a million parts. So you have a million things. So how you look at it, that is how. So every action requires many different types of movements. So all put together it is called vividhascha prithak cheshta. And then there are many things that you do not have control over at all. You do not understand them at all. And that is called daivam. Well, divine. That is the it is as ordained by the Almighty. It is that it is the action of God. So therefore they say insurance won't pay you for the whatever the acts of God are. So you manage those things. It is not, it is act of God. So what can we do about it? So that is again, yes, you are doing all the necessary actions. You have the instruments, right instruments. You have the right intent. You have the proper basic perception for that. And yet, many things that you have no control over can go wrong, and thus the action will not happen. So, that is the fifth factor. All these five factors, they are necessary ingredients for every action. And therefore, what the idea here is that we should not claim the results of the action just because I am doing it. Well, you were one factor in it. Especially when the results are very nice, then you feel that I should have gotten the result for it. There are many complaints that we hear. And I also, fortunately now with me it is reduced because of having seen so many things. But a few years back, I also used to feel that I should have got better deal in this. Why I am not given proper credit in this. I did all this work and somebody else is getting the credit, and so forth. But actually my role was only a small part in it. If we look at it, so many other things were also equally responsible there. So these five factors are needed for the completion, execution of any work. And so, like the garden, that one may work hard, one may get the right soil and the right seeds, and see that the weeding is done. Also, suppose fortunately the climatic conditions became favorable, good crop comes, good yield is there, but yet that person may not get anything. Why? Who knows? There were so many factors. That person's work was only one of them. It is not that that was the whole thing. There were the other instruments that were working, your sense organs, motor organs, they were at work. So many other people that you didn't know, they were at work too. There were so many bees that were doing the pollinating. You didn't do that. Why you are now claiming, you know, that it is I who did it? So many things were coming together there for that. The soil was good. You didn't make the soil. Somebody created the soil for you. You know that nice story. The scientists went to God claiming that, well, God, we know how to make the whole life. The universe, we can create the this life now from just earth. This earth, and we can create the life out of it. Lord said, wow, very interesting. Show me how you do it. And then the fellow, that scientist, took some earth. And God said, no, not like that. Why are you taking my earth? Bring your own earth. If you want to do it, do it. You know, why you are borrowing my earth for it? Bring your own earth, something that you really created. So, we really don't create everything, but then want to claim that it is I who did everything. And thus, when we do not get the credit that is due, we feel due to us, and we feel frustrated, we feel sorry, and think that the world is so bad, this world is diabolical. The truthful people, honest people like me, do not get their due. Look at all those dishonest people. They get all the good things here. Actually, it is not so, friends. It is, we are not as good there as we think we are. Many times when I get such complaints, I ask then, are you good so that you should get all these things, or you are really, you want to be good? If you feel that by being good you are not getting all these things, okay, then become bad and see what you get. It is not so easy. And so it is important to learn that we have to see that my job was only one factor in the whole process, and so I should not claim the whole result, I did it. Then a person, it is told, the next verse is just restating that whatever actions are done, all these five factors play into it. Sharira vang mano dhiryat karma prarabhate narah nyayam va viparitam va panchaite tasya hetavah. Whatever action a man performs by body, speech and mind, whether proper or not, has these five as its causes. So all the five factors, they join together in getting that work done. That work may be physical or just verbal or mental. All these five factors come into it. And the next verse, therefore what is in your hand now? The idea is, now If you do not want to incur the results of the actions, only one of these five is under some semblance of your control, and that is the doership. I am the doer. If you take that out, then you won't get the results. That is the technique. This is the psychology of it. That take out this factor, I am the doer, and see what a great relief comes to you. You are then not bound by those actions. It is I am not the doer, because that is the one factor that you have some control. So it is said in the next verse, tatraivam sati kartaram atmanam kevalam tuyah pashyati akritabuddhitvan nasa pashyati durmatihi. That such being the case, he who owing to his unrefined understanding looks upon the absolute self as the agent is foolish and does not see. That one who thinks that I am the doer, therefore is not really seeing right. That is not the case, and therefore one should not expect the results of the action as the whole. You will get your share if to the extent you are involved in it. Good actions, bad actions, in both cases you will get your share. There is a very elaborate discussion, philosophical discussion, in some of the books of A.J. Ayer. He was a very highly known philosopher in the last century, and was kind of agnostic. According to him, it is impossible to fix the responsibility of any action to any individual. Like somebody took a gun and shot a person. Now who shot, who is responsible for that? Well, this man used the gun and shot, so that this man is responsible, he is the killer. But then a question may come, could this man kill if there had been no guns? If there is no weapon, gun or whatever it may be, in the absence of the weapons, this man wouldn't be able to kill. And so the gun is really to be held responsible, the one who manufactures the gun. Now the gun manufacturer would say, well, the gun is made of these metals and all that. Unless those metals are there, how can I make the gun? So those are responsible. Again, one may say it is not the gun that killed, but it is the bullet that killed. So the one who manufactures bullets, that person should be. And then it may go back a long way to the one who has invented the gunpowder. That inventor must be held responsible. Or ultimately it goes to God, why he made all these elements, by which things are made. So it is impossible to fix the responsibility for any action. But yet inside one knows that I am the doer. From outside you can never fix it. Outside therefore you try to, the legal system therefore tries to find out the motive. If you can fix the motive that because of this you were interested in doing it, so you did it. The gun and all those were secondary. You were the primary doer of it because you had this motive behind it. So thus you get some kind of fixing there. But inside everybody knows, I did it. Whatever arguments one may give, but I, the doer, is there. So Therefore, if you take it out, then it all becomes very different, completely different. Then you are not the doer at all there. Yasya naham krito bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyate hatva pisa iman lokan na hanti na nibadhyate. He who is free from the notion of I, egoism, and whose understanding is not trammeled, though he kills these beings, does not really kill, nor he is bound. That person can kill the whole universe, and yet will not be bound, because that I is not there. I am the killer, I want to get this benefit out of it, or that whole idea of I being absent, they're completely absent, there will be no result of that action accruing to this person, because there is no I there. In a that children, they build sand castles, and then they play, and then in the evening when it is time to go home, the parents are calling them. I remember I used to get so absorbed that in the evening the parents would keep on calling, "Hey, it is night, we need to go back home, come on." So ultimately I would go, before going, "Come on, now it is all done." So, destroy it, kick it and destroy it. There is no destruction there. Nobody can, comes to, even that thought won't be there that I would be sued for destroying this. No, it is a play. It is, that doership is, doesn't come there. So, therefore, this person who has no axe to grind, no eye, and so does not incur any results of the actions, because that person is not the doer. Very difficult to feel this idea, friends. And one may think that this may give to lot of, you know, immoral actions, and people will be trying to support their actions that, after all, I didn't have any ego. No. It is not possible to do that. The results will come to a person who does it with egoism. But if the egoism is not there, then you will not do it at all. That will get done. Not that I will be involved there. No, I will be involved in it. It is a very special, you know, state, and we can see this as soon as that I is taken out, then everything kind of becomes completely changed, completely different. Then the world becomes different. So coming and going of the external things doesn't make any dent there. So, that is what is really the goal of each person. So, if we do not want to get the bound by the results of the actions, then the only true solution for that is take out the ego. This is the poison that makes us bound in the world. And so, take out this. And do the actions. Don't stop doing the actions. Do the actions. But take out the ego out of it. And that does it. So, that will make us free. This is the great secret of what is called Karma Yoga. We shall continue the discussion next Friday. Any questions about it, about today's discussion? So let us conclude with the regular closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।